I want to affectionately greet all of you who have come to this particular lecture. I have chosen a title which I'm very excited about. It is called The Power of Sankalpa. With your permission, I feel a little bit constricted like a horse with this arrangement, so I will just choose the microphone or change the microphone. There is a microphone stand. Just one. My dear devotees and my dear friends who have come for the Sunday festival, I would like to share with you for this half an hour or so something which I discovered about 7 years ago in India, and which I feel really would help all of us, not just me, to reach their spiritual goals. I was in a very, let me say, difficult situation when I met a power or an energy or potency which was much bigger than my own abilities. Together with a group of devotees, we had decided to go around Giriraj Govardhan. It's a 24 kilometer long stretch, but we wanted to do it in a very special way, which is recommended in some shastras. It's the way where you don't walk around it, but where you offer obeisances flat on with all your limbs of the body and your whole body down on the ground. And to do this for 24 kilometers, believe me, it's a spiritual challenge, it's a challenge of humility, and it is also a challenge of physical strength. And because I'm not blessed with any of these three, it was just a challenge. especially in the midst of it, I contracted a high fever called typhus, and I was not really sure if I would be able to complete it. But I had heard that anyone who does this as a special offering in the month of Kartik, he will get extra blessings. So I was determined to complete it. Now every morning, before starting, we did something that is prayers. But I soon began to understand that neither my physical strength nor my prayers would be strong enough to carry me for, I think, 14 kilometers in doing this Dandavat Parikrama. And at that time, I read about it the first time in a serious way, the power of Sankalpa. A Sankalpa is something like an like a declaration of your sacred intent, a sacred desire. It is something which you do, which has to be very deep. It has to come from the core of your heart, and you also have to ask the blessings of the Supreme Lord. So if you do this, if you make an intentional effort to say, I'm going to do this and I request the help of the Lord, then the power of Sankalpa sets in or is activated, And all of a sudden, you find yourself able to do things which previously were not, you did not know that you could do this. In traditional marriage vows, there are sankalpas. The very early morning of the first day, the husband and wife go out of their house under the night sky, when there's still a few stars twinkling in the dark sky. And the wife will show her husband a star called the Dhruva star. The Dhruva star is a star which does not change its position. All the other stars revolve around the Dhruva star, but the Dhruva star is always fixed in that one location. And the wife, the newly wedded wife, will say to her husband, "I want you to be as fixed as this Dhruva star in your commitment to this sacred marriage." And at that time, the husband will make a sankalpa. Yes, no matter what happens, even if my wife turns, becomes ill or is becoming overwhelmed with some psychological difficulties, I will stay true to my vow by the help of the Lord. And then the husband shows his wife another star. It's called the Arundhati star. It's a particular star. Arundhati is a very pious Vedic wife who tolerated the sometimes difficult moods of her husband. And the husband will say to the wife, "I want you to be like that Arundhati, loyal, chaste, committed to our relationship." And then the wife will say, "Yes, my dear husband, I want to be like that star, not changing in my commitment towards you by the mercy of the Lord." And then if these sankalpas, or you could say vows, are made with a conscious intent, I mean, both of the people wish this, then the marriage has a lot of strength to stay together no matter what. This is one example which I thought I would give you, because many of you are either married or you are thinking in your life, maybe in 5 years or 10 years from now you might marry and so on. So it's an example which is good. But also at the sacred initiation, when the devotee goes before the sacred fire, he makes a sankalpa. "I will chant 16 rounds each day, and I will observe 4 rules and regulations in my life." And he makes this deep commitment to these things, to these vows, and he prays at that time to the Lord and to the spiritual master to give him the strength that even at times when it is difficult to complete the prescribed numbers of rounds, he will somehow have the strength to do it. And if this is done once again consciously, there is a protection, there is a certain strength available which will help the individual to make the sankalpa. I will request you this afternoon to form your own sankalpa, and therefore I need to tell you a little bit more about it, and I want to convince you a little bit more about the power which comes from such a sankalpa. But first of all, in the very beginning, before we go to any other subject, I would like to bring to your attention the two qualifying items which ensure or make sure that you can make a sankalpa. First of all, you have to go deep into your heart and strike something or find something in the heart which is alive. It should not be mechanical. It should not be just, oh, I have to say this or do this because this is the tradition. But it must be something which is a motivation, which is alive in you, which can energize you. I would like to give you an example of going deep and finding something which is alive. Maybe 7 years ago, I was very ill and went to Kumatau, a little place in Bashkiria, it's a place in Russia, where there was a very expert healer who was recommended to me and who did his work on me. I remember it was a very difficult winter. We had 4 meters high snow, and I remember we had to take a spade and dig through the snow, a four meter thick layer of snow to come into the garage where our potatoes and our cabbage was. We had to really be like deers and foxes who in the winter scratched the snow aside to get their food. So it was an intense period in my life, and I would have to dig for my food. When I also, because I needed to move my body, I made walks in the snow, and I came to one well which was not covered by ice or snow, but which was deep. It was a well which was blessed by some saint, and it was known that here you would find the water of life. And it was said that if you throw a little coin into the well, then the then you could say a wish, and the wish would always be fulfilled. So I'm so ill, maybe I should also try it. And I took the smallest Russian coin which I could find, because it's Krishna's money, we don't want to waste it. And I threw it into the well, and I wished that I could become healthy again so that I could serve Srila Prabhupada. And I remember how the coin was going down in a serpentine movement until it finally settled on the bottom of the well. And I pronounced my wish, and I became healthy again. I don't know if it's because of the saint or if it's because of Krishna. I think it's more because of Krishna, to be very truthful to you. But yes, and as this coin was sliding down, levo desno, levo desno, it finally came to the bottom of the well, I thought, this is how I should be in my life. I should go deep. Most of us are wasting their time with superficial desires. Oh, if I could only have a new app on my little my mobile telephone. If I could have just a new mobile telephone, maybe from the company Helong or whatever the new company's name is. If I could, an Apple telephone. That would be like Steve Jobs. That would be very good. We waste our time with these superficial desires. Or if I could only have a new husband and a new wife. That would be ideal. Or a better pizza. Most of us are really very much on the surface. But we are failing. We are very much failing to identify the deeper desires which are behind all the superficial desires. The deeper desire is, if I could only have a very real Krishna conscious relationship as a servant of Lord Krishna, if this only could be alive in my heart, if I could feel affection and gratitude towards Krishna, if my life, which is now so empty, could become full with deep felt affection for Krishna, that would be very good. So if you want to make a sankalpa, something which is, you have to go deep. Don't waste your time with the superficial layers of your personality and psychology, where all these desires are, my dear devotees, which are not your real desires, which are strange and foreign to your real nature as a part of Krishna, a part of God. Today, Gaur Krishna and myself listened to a lecture by Prabhupada, where Prabhupada said, Krishna is inviting you to join his family. He comes and says, I have my mother, Yashoda. I have my father, Nanda Maharaj. I have my friends. You can join me because you like family life or you like friends. I am your best friends. So Gaur Krishna and myself were thinking, talking to each other. And we said, this is an open invitation. Prabhupada is telling us that we should again... we should join Krishna in some way. So it's we know some Hare Krishnas will say this is not good, this is sahajiya, but here Prabhupada says this is the invitation, and okay, those who say this is not good, for them this is nothing, they should not look in this direction. But I can tell you, unless and until you make your relationship with Krishna real, you will always try for other relationships. You will try to find the perfect friend. You will try to find this, that. Work these relationships to purify our hearts. They're not bad, they're good. They give us an opportunity to become selfless. But the perfect relationship is with Krishna, because we are his parts and parcels. So, yes, go deep if you want to make a sankalpa. And the second thing is, you must know that your sankalpa can only be fulfilled by Krishna's mercy. Because what you are asking in a sankalpa is something big, it's something deep, it's something which is not necessarily in your area of competence. It's something where you dream big, the big dreams of your life, the big desires of your life. They should come into a sankalpa. You don't need a sankalpa that, oh, let me eat on Monday a pizza. That is not for a sankalpa. That you just somehow do by going to the Radha Govinda restaurant and so on and so forth. You don't need to make a sankalpa. But when it comes to doing something extraordinary, something which your heart desires, like going to a holy place, or making advancement in Krishna consciousness, or becoming closer to Krishna, then you make a sankalpa where you require the strength the extra strength, the extra special strength of Krishna. Good. So two things which are required for Sankalpa. Go deep, find something which is under the superficial desires, and second is pray for the help and support of Krishna. Now let us move on. How does a Sankalpa move, work? There is a verse which some of you know, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yovidadati Kaman. This verse says that amongst all the eternal beings, there's one supreme eternal being. He is Krishna. Amongst all those who are full of consciousness, plants are full of consciousness, insects are full of consciousness, human beings are full of consciousness. So amongst all these millions and billions of life forms who are full of consciousness, there's one supreme consciousness. He is Krishna. Now, this Eka means this one. This one is engaged since time immemorial, means time which goes very long back, to fulfill the desires of the many, many people. This is the Lord in the heart, the Paramatma. He becomes aware of your desire. Prabhupada gave the example, he becomes of becoming aware of smell. When a man goes by a field of flowers, oh, he becomes aware of the flowers by the fragrance. So in the same way, Krishna, who is just right next to you in your heart, becomes aware of what you will. He so to say smells your desire. He smells the quality of your desire. And because he is Krishna and he is next to you as your best friend, he is moving the material nature so that your desire is fulfilled. Have you ever seen this? When you have a very strong desire, somehow it seems that the material nature is moving to fulfill that desire. When I came to New York, I wanted to meet a very famous man to inspire him to do some work for spreading Krishna consciousness. And I remember it was a strong desire. So on that, the next day, I saw myself in this car, then I changed the car, zoop, I could clearly see I was something was moving me, and I went into the office of the person, and the person said to me, do you want to meet this famous man? And I said, yes. How do you know? Well, Krishna's arrangement. Many things in your life, if you go back, are not, I mean, the bigger things, the more important things, are not things which you made happen. The way you met your best friend, for instance, happened through a set of different arrangements. The way maybe you came first to India happened through several arrangements. In fact, the way you met Srila Prabhupada in the form of transcendental literature was clearly arranged. Will you agree with me that the important things in your life happen by arrangement, not by your planning and your efforts? No, we have seen the big things. Who is arranging it? Who is arranging the nature? That is Krishna, who is becoming aware of a particular individual's strong desire and then starts to move the material energy in a way. Many of us try to massage the material energy so that it will fulfill our desire, but it never works. Massage the material, make this move, make that move, and then it doesn't turn out the way you planned it in the end. But Krishna doesn't need to try to massage the material energy. He moves the material energy from inside, because he is the Lord of the material energy. It's one of his energies. So if Krishna becomes aware of your deep of a desire of the one of his innumerable living entities, and especially if that living entity turns to him, then that supreme eternal amongst all eternals who sits with you in the space of the heart, you know, then he begins to move the material energy so that your desire can be fulfilled. I remember a particular difficult situation on that Govardhan Dandavat Parikrama, you know, when the little group in which I was did this, paid obeisances to Lord to Giriraj and moved forward very slowly but steadily in this way. And I remember I was sitting at the I had paid my obeisances just after Govardhan town, and I was just lying on the cold ground because we were starting early, and my body was shivering despite tons of paracetamol, that is a medication which you take when you have fever. And I was there, and all of a sudden a rain of peanuts came over me. Peanuts. And the next moment, one, I think 50,000 monkeys jumped on me to grab these peanuts and eat the peanuts. And they smelled terribly. They didn't use soap after the big toilet, and you could smell it. It was really like, oh, it smelled like the hellish planets. It was really very bad. So when these monkeys ate peanuts from me, I only had one thought: who did this to me? I'm trying to be humble in my life, but enough is enough. And I know martial arts very good. So I got up and I looked into the face of an Indian who had just thrown peanuts over me to feed the monkeys. So the Indian saw me getting out of the obeisances and getting into the Bruce Lee statue, and he smiled at me and said, "Monkey Seva." Monkey Seva means service to the monkeys. And this was enough. I exploded. But as I was in my best jump at him, I noticed, oops, I should be more humbler than the straw in the street. Oops. And I composed myself. I said, "Thank you very much. You have done a very great monkey seva. And the monkey who you have served today is called Sachinandan Swami from Germany. I have learned to become humble, at least for a little time. I thank you very much." And I continued my Dandavat Parikrama. And I was, for the first time doing this whole experience, felt really very Krishna conscious, because the false ego was down. How could this happen? I don't know Bruce Lee's positions. I'm just trying to explain it in a postmodern way, so that you can all understand what went on. I wanted to complain. I asked myself, why was I strong enough to not say something nasty to the Indians? Indians are Indians. They are always extraordinary, special. What gave me the strength? It was the sankalpa. It was the strength of the purposefully declared intention. My dear devotees, if you are able to put sankalpas alive in your life, you will find that you are much stronger than you ordinarily are. You will find that the universe will rush and run to your help in different moments. You will find how doors which were closed to you are miraculously opening to you. You will find that the word impossible indeed is a word which does not apply to you any longer. So this is the power of sankalpa, which I feel should be made by us, because if we don't have a sacred intention, how do we say intention in this language? Yeah, that sounds... how? Namen. Namen. If you don't have a namen, Maya has a namen for you. You know. If you don't have your own namen, 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 then Maya has a namen for you, an intention for you. So this is very good. I see many of us have joined Krishna consciousness, but I see many of us have lost their namen, their sacred intention. And therefore you do only half as good as you can do. You are not inspired in your life. You are not fully alive with spiritual energy, because you have forgotten the great benefit of sankalpa in your life, and you have not done. So I would love to make a little kirtan now with all of you. And I would like you I will guide you in finding your namen, your sacred intention. I just need to know from the organizers of the program until which time am I scheduled to sing. It's now, 20 minutes past 5. Who knows? Six. Warum? Weil da deine Zeit ist? Och doch, warum nicht? Ein Sankalpa musst du machen. Ananda Chaitanya says, he can't sing so long. And I'm saying, make a Sankalpa. Ja, okay. By the way, this devotee who is now with me is one of my very good friend.